Beasley on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Felspar, along with the vigilante Ipswich, arrived at the Passionfruit Festival, prepared to prevent Chrysalis from using the time-stopping I Am Karnasava on the attendees. They spotted a number of apparent civilians wearing pendants that grant immunity to the Eye's magic, marking them as secret members of Chrysalis. After a scuffle between Agent Vellum and an enemy agent, the Eye of Karnasava was released, and used to take most of the party hostage with its magic. The vampire Ferocity threatened to start killing attendees if the city of Cindershore didn't surrender to Chrysalis. With only Vellum and Ipswich free due to amulets of their own, pressure is on to stop Chrysalis here and now before the city falls to their plot. Left off. You were at the Passion Fruit Festival, specifically the feast, one of the two festivals. The ballroom that you are in is two floors. The second floor is like half as long as the first floor, and there's like a balcony that looks down over the rest of the first floor. Set some geometry there. The Eye of Karnasava is floating up in the air and looking down at everyone who was looking up at it, and they are now frozen in time.
Question to interrupt. If they weren't looking at it, are they frozen?
No, but I bet everyone did look at it because there was a huge fight going on.
Right.
But no, if they weren't looking, it's literally you have to be making eye contact with it to be frozen.
Okay. So if Anya were here, she wouldn't be frozen.
Correct.
Damn. Okay.
That was her argument for coming, but Spar said no.
Right, yeah. which is understandable, but yeah.
Yeah.
And he stands by it.
Veracity has just made some demands, basically the city of Cindershore to surrender its constabulary, and basically, in general, just surrender to Chrysalis, or they start murdering people, starting with the mayor and his husband. They have their arm around Spar up on the balcony, looking down at Vellum. Ipswich is over by the stage, which overlooks the first floor, where Diamond is frozen along with most of the people here. And I think that's the gist of it.
What about all of the Chrysalis members who had
pendants?
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay. So those were real pendants.
Yep. There are a bunch of people. I will say no one is actively moving right now, but I mean, I'll let you know out of character. There are people who are not frozen, who are not friends. And also I will say, just to let you guys know in advance, there will be times during the session where the backup that Vellum called in becomes relevant. And I'm going to go around and make you guys flip for backup things when they occur.
Nice. For Spar being frozen, is it like a sleep paralysis where he's conscious of what's going on but cannot move?
We will get to that in probably a few minutes, but I want to know.
Cool. Great.
First, I want to know what Vellum and Ipswich are doing immediately after. Kit is vibrating, so we can start with them.
Okay. So Ipswich is going to look around, and he is looking for a Chrysalis member who's wearing a pendant, ideally on their, like a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Either on the balcony, or if not, he'll look for somebody in the crowd below.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Identified a target. He's going to take his telekinesis. He's going to... And I know we got to flip, but the plan is we're going to pull the necklace off and put it onto Spar.
Yes, good.
I love that immensely. Step one is definitely going to be identify a target.
Okay.
So go ahead and flip wit investigation to find a target, which, as we know, is Queer Creeper's strong suit.
Well, you know, it is a suit he has, yes. All right. So, wit is 2, investigation is 0, but he's healthy, so that's 3. Here we go!
In Space Kings, everything you have is a suit. You're gonna get a suit on your card.
Uh-huh.
1, 2, 3, no successes, so I'm going to use some drive.
Okay.
So, drive number, so I have 5 drive total, so I will go down to 4 is a flip. Nope. 3, flip. Nope. 1 more. 2. Queen of Hearts.
Yay.
Whoa! What's your crit?
2. I have 2 successes.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Wow, that's actually, that's some good use of drive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for 2 successes, you don't see anyone up near you with the obvious one, but still on the second floor, just like far away, actually eyeing Diamond specifically, is a bulky androgynous person who is, yeah, wearing one like a necklace.
Awesome. So that's my target.
So if you would like to flip, I'm going to say agility telekinesis to finesse.
All right. Agility is 4. Telekinesis is 2 plus 1 for my ring of thunk, which is 7. And I am healthy, which is 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 4 successes.
Dang.
Wow.
Excellent.
Alrighty. So we might have to get back to Spar sooner than I thought. Okay, so, Kit, you successfully are able to do that.
All right, rip the necklace off this random androgynous person, slamming it down over Spar's head.
So my question, though, is if you are already frozen, does the amulet do anything, or is it a prophylactic?
I was also wondering, depending on how far away Creeper is from the person that had the necklace and how far away Creeper is from Spar, if that would need to have like a turn in between or anything.
Yeah, it's going to take some time. And also, Spar is right next to Veracity, who has their arm around Spar. So Veracity is going to get a flip to try to snatch this amulet out of the air. But they're going to have to beat 4 successes to do it.
Could Creeper like try to stealthily put it around Spar's hand or something?
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a way to fly it up that Veracity wouldn't see, because Spar is on the catwalk, so he's like...
Yeah.
Pretty exposed.
Spar's literally leaning... You're halfway off the catwalk about to jump down into the crowd, is how you described yourself.
Perfect. I love that for me.
So you're extremely exposed. So Veracity is going to get a counterflip.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means, that Veracity got 4 successes and a joker.
Huh.
Let me know what... So what is Vellum doing?
Well, I was thinking...
Because I'm going to say it took some time for Ipswich to do all this.
Yeah, yeah.
Both to process the situation, find a person, and do this.
Right.
So, yeah, Vellum, what are you up to?
Vellum is going to pop a durium gum in his mouth. Step 1.
Smart.
Step 2... Shit, like, he wants to get up there with Spar, but he doesn't want Veracity to immediately try to harm Spar.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really know if there's a good way to do that. Maybe he'll try to teleport on Veracity's other side. That way it is both a distraction and potentially Veracity needs to at least use one hand to deal with Vellum.
Yeah.
If not both hands.
Okay. Is that what you're going to do?
I think so. That's the best I got right now.
Okay. Agility gadgetry for teleportation.
All right. Agility is 1. Gadgetry is 4. Eclectic is 1. Healthy is 1. What do we got? We got a queen and a jack.
Okay, so that's 2 successes?
Yeah.
That is enough to get up there.
Do I need to do a separate flip for tangoing with Veracity?
Yeah, but hold on.
Okay.
Now we are going to get to essay for a second, because I have to... This is going to be a whole a domino effect about to happen. All right.
Can I suggest something for the Joker?
I have an idea, but go ahead.
My thought is 4 successes, Veracity bats it away, but Joker, it lands on somebody else.
Ooh.
That's funny. I think I have a better idea, but I want to go with what you have going on first. Okay, so essay.
Yes. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Spar has dealt with the Eye of Konosaba before, and in doing so, interview people who have fallen under its effects.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, you are not conscious during it. Mm-hmm. Like, it happens to you, and then, like, you see it, and then you don't see it anymore, and you're back to normal, and time has transpired around you.
Mm-hmm.
You can see your surroundings still,
mm-hmm.
but you feel completely weightless.
Mm-hmm.
And upon looking at yourself, realize that you are not quite in your body. You are slightly next to your own body.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. And you are a ghost spar made of, like, pink light.
Oh.
Cool. Do I have a ghost sword?
You have a ghost sword.
Good.
Dope.
I thought you were going to say a ghost hobby gun.
Me too. But ghost sword makes way more narrative sense.
Yeah, totally.
So what are you doing?
Freaking out. Mm-hmm. Gonna take a moment to freak out.
Good. As you should.
Mm-hmm.
Pat myself down and see if I have solidity, if my pink ghost form has solidity to myself.
It does.
Try to touch my body.
It does. It has like a really weird, almost like a thick gas or like a liquid. Like there's some viscosity to it, but it is.
Like a plasma.
Yeah.
Like a jello jiggler.
Like a jello jiggler.
Yeah.
So Spar's gonna go, ooh.
you're a strawberry jello jiggler.
Mm-hmm.
Draw my ghost sword.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens if I touch my ghost sword to, like, the catwalk around. Like, I'm not trying to slice through. I just want to see what happens. Can I interact with, like, the material world around me?
Yes, but lightly. Like, I'll say, I'm not sure how to give this to you by touching the catwalk, but... But, like, yeah, like, you hear, like a fainter clang than you expect to.
Mm, okay.
So, essentially, you can interact with the world, but not as forcefully as you could as a physical being.
Okay. So, it's ghost rules. It's like, mm-hmm. okay. Can I fly?
You sure can.
All right. Then I guess I'm going to attempt to zip over to wherever Vellum is.
All right. Okay, so you begin flying down to the first floor as Vellum teleports up to the second floor. At the same time, the amulet goes around Spar's wrist, and his body goes limp, but his spirit form is still outside of his body,
uh-huh.
and also... Veracity was kind of leaning on Spar a little bit as they were trying to reach the amulet. So Veracity and Spar both go toppling over the catwalk.
Shit.
And slam into the first floor, and the amulet goes sprawling across the floor as Spar's body is frozen again.
Okay.
Could Vellum try to grab them as they're falling?
Hold on. I'm gonna flip damage for Spar.
Okay.
And then should we go into initiative order just so we don't all talk over each other?
That's a great idea. Let me flip this damage first. Spar takes 1 point of harm for that fall.
I'm gonna guess that's undodgeable.
Correct. Oh man, that was good.
Question, does Spar need to keep track of health for the body and the soul separately, or do they share health?
If Spar's body dies, he's fucked.
If you die in your body, you die in real life.
That's so true.
But also, if you die in your soul, does that...
You die for real. I'm gonna say it's shared.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to note that whenever Three of Hearts isn't in, like, a right, like, remember, we're just talking, things are very tense. When we get into a very tense action things, scene, things become very silly.
uh-huh. And I love that for us.
That's it, that's the show.
Yeah. Okay, what's everyone's initiative?
4.
5.
I guess I'll pull out Veracity stats.
No stats. No stats for Veracity. Okay,
so we got 5, we got 7. Holy moly.
And Ela is 4.
Okay. Let me check out Veracity.
No.
who does have stats.
I won't. I won't let you.
Sorry, you're too many states away.
Okay, I'm getting in the car. I'm astrally projecting.
Veracity's also four, so me and Ela are going to flip a card.
Oh, no.
I got an ace.
I got an eight.
Okay, so Veracity is going to go before Vellum.
Okay.
All right, Ipswich, it's your turn.
Gosh. Well, that was my idea.
It was a good idea. I love it.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I remember the androgynous person who I took the necklace from seemed to be eyeing Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else up on the balcony who appears to be making for Diamond?
Yes. You see, like, I don't even know why they would be slinking. You see two people heading over, yeah, walking towards Diamond, like, clambering up on the stage and going right towards them.
Mm. If you want to start disarming members of Chrysalis by just, like, flinging all their amulets off.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of into that, because, like, we are also going to need, like, it's, like, I also am thinking, like, yeah, need more amulets, like, got other people we would love to be unfrozen. Mm-hmm. So, sure, I will attempt to disarm whichever thug is closest to Diamond by ripping off their amulet.
More telekinesis. Okay, give me another agility telekinesis.
Okay. Oh, right. This is the thing I'm good at.
Kit's going to disamulet them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay, so that's 4 for agility, 2 for telekinesis, 1 for my ring, 1 for healthy. That's 8.
We've got kind of a ring toss situation going where, yes, like, with each one, you can sort of try to fling it at Spar. or if Jakob is around, he would be great to.
Yep.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. And Lunavella. I'm also watching out for Lunavella. So I have 2 successes and a joker. No, 3 successes and a joker.
Amazing. Okay, so basically, you now we're going to go with Essay's idea for a joker. So you get to fling it off of them, so they're frozen in time. And now I'm going to flip a card to determine whether it ends up on a friend or foe, basically. Or, well, I guess rather like friend or random person who's not helpful. So if it's black, it's going to be friend. And red will be foe. Friend, you pick Lunavella, Jakob, or Diamond, who I'm counting as a friend very loosely in this circumstance.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I think we're going to leave Diamond right where they are. so let's go for Lunavella.
Okay.
Like, I love you, Jakob, but also Lunavella, though.
The bird woman mage who, like, knows shit is probably better than the hot investigative reporter catboy.
But wait. I just remembered that Kit has a die right in front of them. Is that correct, Kit?
Yes.
So instead, you're actually going to roll.
Okay.
1 to 2. Is Jakob, 3 to 4 is Lunavella, and 5 to 6 is Diamond.
Okay, so I got it. Now I have to actually write down my current drive so I don't lose it.
Yeah, and then just put it right back after this roll.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's see what we got. 3.
So that's Lunavella. Good job.
Yay!
We got what we wanted. Alrighty, so it goes flying into the air and lands right around the neck of Bird Mom.
Woohoo!
Vellum's plan, by the way, was to invoke Beloved and go and get hurt. So,
what a plan!
We'll see how that develops.
It's Spar's turn.
So I'm on the ground floor with my body next. Mm-hmm. Well, we're on the same floor.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to see if I can get the amulet that went skittering back toward my body.
Okay. That is going to be presence and athletics, I guess.
Brawn?
Yeah. Let's do a double stat flip. Who fucking cares? Presence and brawn.
Hang on. Wait, No. I bet I can do you one better.
Okay.
Brawn telekinesis.
Yes, that makes so much more sense.
Okay. Brawn is 3, telekinesis is 0. Mm-hmm. I have taken 1 injury, but I'm not yet to the injured status, so I am healthy.
Got it.
So that is 4 cards.
Yeah, I don't have a character sheet in front of me, so feel free to pitch stats to me if I don't remember what all the stats are.
No successes, one joker.
Oh, no. Hey, Essa, you could drive.
Not yet.
No?
I'm having fun being a useless ghost boy.
No.
And it's comparatively low stakes. This isn't like me trying to stab Veracity or something. I'm just kind of, I have this like amulet that I'm trying to like pick up and it keeps like being jello in my hands.
It keeps phasing through your jello hand.
Oh, I like for a joker that you try way too hard to pick it up. You like overcompensate and you like fling it further away from you.
Great. Yep. Love it.
Yeah. So it goes scattering like into the crowd of people. So you're not quite sure where it is right now.
Yep.
Cue the scene of Ghost Spar like crawling through people's legs trying to find the amulet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Good.
All right. Is that safe to assume that's where we leave Spar as he's like literally crawling through them? Yeah.
Okay. Army crawling along. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's Veracity's turn.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Do we want to, you know, skip them or something?
No, it's okay. They're really upset about what has happened.
Uh-huh. To be fair, that wasn't Velim or Ipswich's fault, really. Mm. Not really.
So Veracity's going to look up at Velim and say, I want you to remember that the purpose of the Eye of Kurnosava was so that I could accomplish my goals without violence. And they leap up onto the balcony, or attempt to. So... so that was 3 successes, and one of them was a Queen of Hearts, which bumped it up to 4 successes. So, Veracity just successfully leaps up from the first floor onto the second floor, like now just like face to face with Velim.
Cool, cool, cool.
And it's Velim's turn.
How close are they?
Wait, a quick question.
Oh, yep.
Are they on the catwalk or are they on the balcony?
Hmm. Wherever Velim would be like up on the catwalk, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So up there, up on the catwalk. They're face to face with Velim is the goal.
All right. Good, good, good. You know, it would be a cool scene to do like to try to do a cool fight with Veracity. I was thinking like hand to hand fight, and then I was thinking, well, Velim's not good at hand to hand, but then I remembered that the triple threat has a Taekwondo function.
It sure does.
So I guess that's what we're going to try to do.
All right.
So I don't know how exactly the triple threat works, if it's like turning a dial or what.
It is exactly like turning a dial.
Okay, cool.
I will say, I did establish it only takes time to turn. I'm going to add a new mechanic. You can turn it instantly for a drive.
Okay. Cool, cool.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right. So one drive to switch it to Taekwondo.
Yep.
And then are you gonna try to attack Veracity?
Yep.
All right. Give me brawn gadgetry.
All right. Brawn is 2. Gadgetry is still 4. And at the moment, we're still healthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got 2 jacks and an ace.
All right.
To do some cool kicks and punches. And maybe some blocks in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Veracity has a feature called melee interference, which essentially means that you'll flip 2 less cards for any melee attack.
Okay. Should I have taken 2 less cards out of that flip just now?
I didn't tell you until just now, so I guess I won't. If you already flipped them, I'm not going to hold it against you. If you haven't flipped them, please.
I did already flip them, but if you want, I have them still in order.
Call it a surprise.
Okay, yeah, we'll call it a surprise.
A surprise attack.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Cool, cool.
So how many successes?
The 3.
3 successes? Okay. Wow. You go off. So, Ela, you actually know Taekwondo, so let me know some things that Velim does right now.
Okay. Depending on what Veracity's fight style is, it could be a little bit different, but I imagine that Velim gets into a cat stance, which is like an L stance where you have your back foot facing perpendicular to whoever you're attacking and your front foot is facing the person you're attacking.
Okay.
But your front foot, you only put like 30% of your weight on it. That way it's really quick to do a kick.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a cat stance. So you can very quickly do some front kicks or crescent kicks or maybe a roundhouse if you're creative, but roundhouse are usually you're kicking from your back leg for a roundhouse. So he gets in his cat stance. He's got his... another thing that was always drilled into us when I was learning is to always have your hands in a ready position. So that means either you have both your hands up in fists, like one would be, in this case, out as if he's ready to block Veracity, and the other one would be back towards his armpit. And that's just kind of where it lives until that is ready to punch. Because when you're doing a punch to add extra torque to it, you want to twist the arm from being upside down to right side up. And this would be easier to see if you actually saw me doing it, which none of you can see. So I'm not even on a video call. And he's gonna do some...
Subscribe to our Patreon to see Ela giving a martial arts demonstration.
Yeah, I actually would do that. That would be fun. That would
be extremely fun.
Subscribe to our Patreon to listen to Ela, who is still not on camera.
If we do it on Patreon, I'll do a video for sure.
Okay, okay. Well, you definitely surprised Veracity, who did not expect the nerd to kick so much butt. So... yeah, you catch them unaware and get in, which, well, you know, which is, yeah, definitely why you get the extra two, and just flurry at Veracity and hit them good.
Good.
They are definitely caught unaware. And our last person in initiative is going to be Luna Vella.
Woo! Get him.
Yay.
Luna wants your radio.
I mean, Luna could absolutely come get it.
Yeah, so Luna's going to just like fly and grab it from you.
Okay.
But I'm going to flip to see if they can do that like gracefully.
Mm. Vellum is not going to fight Luna over taking the radio, especially not when they're in the middle of fighting Veracity. They trust Luna.
Luna's going to land on... I mean, Luna would shout for you like as they're flying towards... As she's flying towards you, be like, Vellum, the radio.
Vellum will shout, grab it.
Okay, she does that. She lands on the catwalk for 1 second and says to Veracity, long time no see, Mare Bear, and then jumps off the catwalk and flies away.
Good, good.
We're going to do something I never do in this podcast, which is narratively cut away from the main action for a second.
Oh.
About half an hour ago, well, no, more like 15 minutes ago, a number of individuals have stepped off the train in Cindershore to help. The first set of which is Governor Thorne, not to be confused with Mayor Governor Thorne.
I'm astrally projecting into your bedroom, Jordan.
I see you. Hello. She is joined by a number of basically her elite guard, which is called the Bramble Guard. And they descend on the constabulary with motorcycles.
Do they have bramble pelts?
No.
Okay.
And they attempt to dispatch the Chrysalis agents at the constabulary without alerting Veracity that they are doing so.
Excellent.
So that is going to be my flip right now. Okay, and all these support flips are going to be 6 flips. That was 6 flips, and that was 4 successes. Nice. So very good. They successfully do that. Yeah, that was a good first one.
I wonder if Tatiana is still in Cindershore.
I have Tati related plans, but they will not be revealed this episode.
Okay, cool. I just happened to think, like, who else could our allies be?
Yeah. It is Kit's turn.
Okay. So we've still got one Chrysalis member going for Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want that to happen. So I think we'll play ring toss again.
Okay.
With this other person going for diamond. So that is... Crap. It's something telekinesis. Agility telekinesis? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, yep. So that's... And I'm going to say, this person has now seen your move and is going to try to, like, hold on to their...
Yeah.
Their thing, which is wrapped around their wrist. So it's just going to be contested flip, that's all.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's give it a try. So at least now they're not they're looking at me and not at diamond, which is still in some mm-hmm. sense a good thing for me. So we've got 4 for agility. We've got 2 for telekinesis, plus 1 for my ring, plus 1 for healthy. So let's see what that looks like. Okay, 2 successes.
Okay, they got 1 success. So you find that they're also a telekinesis user, and you guys have like a standoff where you're both doing like Professor X mode on your head, and then you yank it out of their thing, yeah, their brain, and you throw it on and you throw it on diamond. Is that correct?
No, I think we're gonna have to either roll again or no, it will not be diamond.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. He's Nicky Kid Joker, so where's it going?
Okay. This one's going to Jakob.
Okay, great. I don't know why I presumed that you would be letting Diamond loose.
No, Diamond, again, I was so excited about Diamond, but like it's like my fandom has sort of been whittling away. Like the rock in the waves of Diamond's shittiness is getting kind of worn down. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah.
All right.
They say never meet your heroes.
Yeah,
no.
Especially not when your hero is a sociopath. Okay. Actually, before I cut to Spar, I want to say there's something going on downstairs while the mayhem is happening. A random Chrysalis agent. We're going to say, actually, it's, I forget. I want to say her name was Desdemona, or just Mona. The person who greeted Kit at the jukebox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to see if I think who would even notice this. I think Spar and Kit would both notice that a camera has been like wheeled out onto the floor of the atria, and she looks like really flushed, and she's like, "Oh, Veracity was supposed to do this part, but they are busy." So, people of Cindershore, as you can see. We have the people of the Passion Festival held hostage. And our glorious leader there, to Veracity. They wanted to do this non-violently, but these agents of Suits have decided to become aggressive. Because unlike us, they do not care for the well-being of the people of the city. They're willing to gamble with your safety. Chrysalis agents will be coming door to door and giving everyone the opportunity to choose a side. You can choose to side with Chrysalis, or you can choose to side against your own well-being. Make the right choice. I don't have a script. Okay, bye. And that's the end of the broadcast.
Can Jakob come into initiative and use his experience as a... Does he work for a newspaper?
He works for a newspaper, yeah.
And get the media back on our side. Give a good counter-argument about not siding with terrorists.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
This is just Ela thinking out loud.
Sorry, is this like a video camera? Do we have video camera technology?
Yeah, this is based on the pseudo 1950s, so we definitely... I looked it up. We had live news broadcasts going on in the 50s, so.
Okay. I was down with the radio thing. I was totally hip to the radio, and then, okay, cool.
I think it's probably a new technology, but it does exist.
Cool.
And it's unlikely to be, like, national.
Yeah, it's, like, just Cindershore.
Yeah.
Spar, what are you doing?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This might actually be a rewind to become a contested flip of some kind. But I want to stick my hand through the wires to try to interrupt this broadcast from going out.
I love that.
Ooh. I want to get my ghosty self in there.
And get see your if I, gummy jello fingies in there.
Yeah, and just see if I can make it not go. Or break it up or something.
All right.
Presence telekinesis?
This is presence, either engineering or gadgetry.
Okay. Those are both zero.
Great, so it doesn't matter. Presence, zero.
Plus one for being mm-hmm. healthy. Mm-hmm. Two, three. One success.
Okay. I'm trying to decide. Because that's definitely not enough to, like, just do it. But I think for one success, it turned out choppy. Mm-hmm. And so they're actually going to try to rebroadcast for clarity.
Which has at least more Chrysalis agents occupied with
telecoms. Yes, exactly. So some people start coming around to, like, fuss with the equipment, the broadcast equipment to see what's going on.
What? Why is it not working? You need to turn this dial in and plug this. No, don't touch that. No.
Have you tried turning it off and back on again?
I told you to gaffer tape the cords down.
The host is even more nervous this time as she does the broadcast more once
flustered.
Again. Yeah.
She taps the microphone. Is this on?
There's feedback right. squeal, despite the fact that there are no speakers near her.
All right. It is Vellum. No, it's actually Veracity's turn. So, I mean, yeah, Veracity's going to attack Vellum. And luckily you have Durium.
I do.
But I still got to flip. And this is why I got to flip, ladies and gentlemen, because there are still jokers out there. So you're surrounded by like a little magical bubblegum shield right now. And Veracity goes to like grab you by the throat, popping the shield in the process.
Okay.
And the force of the pop startles them. They stagger back and fall and catch themselves on the edge of the catwalk.
Okay.
And are now hanging down, glaring up at you.
Yep.
It's your turn.
Like when your cat frightens themselves in their sleep and they kind of yeah. like, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're all bristly and all like, what did you do?
Yeah.
It's all your fault. I think Vellum is going to pull them back up.
Okay.
If Vellum can keep Veracity busy and fighting them, then it means that they're not going to be killing someone else.
Yeah.
They still have lackeys, but uh-huh. Veracity is the biggest threat.
Uh-huh.
We'll see what Veracity does, but Vellum's going to try to pull them back up to the catwalk.
Alrighty. So, Brawn Athletics?
Okay. How wide is the catwalk?
Not very wide.
Yeah, it's a catwalk, so two people can't stand abreast. It's like yeah. one person.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Because, like, it would be cool to, like, grab them and fling them and maybe do some damage that way. But if we do that, then Veracity might just fall off.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Brawn is two. Athletics is none. Healthy is one. We got two threes and a 10.
Great. So none successes, huh?
None. Left beef. Could try to drive, but I don't know. Maybe this is, you know, I could save the drive for something more important. And also, maybe this is Veracity not letting themselves be pulled up because they don't trust Vellum not to drop them or something.
I mean, I feel like combat with Veracity is pretty important. I would suggest some drive.
Okay. My other idea had been for Vellum to switch the dial and telekinesis himself and Veracity, if that's possible, to another area.
Mm. Oh, that's red as hell.
So for zero successes, I was going to have you and Veracity both fall down to the first floor. But
okay,
if you want to spend a drive, I will let you do like a whole other action, I guess. Is that reasonable? Like to do the teleport?
Yeah, like for a drive while we're falling, can Vellum try to teleport both of them elsewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Getting really loosey-goose with what drive does in this one, but whatever, it's fun. So yeah, so Veracity grabs you and you're both falling and go ahead and try to teleport. Where are you trying to teleport to?
Somewhere, it has to be within line of sight, but
yeah.
Somewhere that is less...
Occupied?
Occupied, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll say, like, you have a huge ballroom on the first floor.
Okay.
But most of it right below you is, like, with a cluster of people, because they were all clustered around the, like, the auction event.
Mm-hmm.
So you can teleport to, like, closer to the entrance of the ballroom.
Okay.
And there'd be, like, no one there.
Yeah. I figure the less people around Veracity is the less people that they can use as hostages.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So, agility gadgetry to get that precise teleport.
All right. One agility, four for gadgetry, one for healthy. We got a king, a jack, and a joker.
Do you want to ante this joker, or do we want to hold it?
What do you think? Like, I think it could be good to ante it. That way there's not any issue with the teleportation. Like, it's only me or it's only Veracity or something like that. Or the triple threat breaks. I think it could be good to use it.
Yeah, I'm in favor of like, doing what we can, of, like, using our resources on this Veracity fight because it feels the highest stakes.
Okay.
All right, ante the Joker.
All right.
Good call. So the triple threat was going to short circuit.
No. And
it's okay, you're good.
Okay. So that's two successes for the teleportation, and that's enough for us to get over there.
Yep. You end up isolated from everybody else. I'm going to say, like, because you were mid-fall, you both end up, like, on the ground. But yeah. But yeah. That's that. So now for the NPCs.
Luna, Vella, then Jakob?
I'm going to do Jakob first.
Okay.
Jakob is going to look, like, make eye contact with the Ipswich from across the room. And gestures for you to follow as he makes his way for an elevator.
Hmm.
He's not going to do anything flip-worthy right now except for that. So it is Luna, Vella. And she's going to do... a big arcana.
Yay.
I'm going to say what she's doing after I flip for dramatic reasons.
Ipswich, just throw diamond over your shoulder and head to the elevator.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Yeah.
Or, I mean, better just like leave diamond where they are and like get a sheet or something over the eye of Kronoshava.
Yeah. I was mainly worried about Chrysalis getting diamond.
Yeah.
Sparse not.
More for other people's safety than for diamond safety, but
my enemy and my other enemy, if they want to hang out, I don't love that, but like
Luna, oh my goodness, this is perfect. Luna only got six successes.
Dang.
As Luna Vella casts a spell that was taught to her by Terra. Luna Vella later taught it to Jasper, who used it to talk to a god at a very crucial time. As Luna Vella decides to have a chat with the god Kronoshava.
Oh.
Whoa! Whoa!
What does that do?
And there is a huge flash of like lime green light from where Luna and the radio are, which is somewhere on the second floor. And Luna passes out.
Oh.
We'll get to the rest of that in a moment. It is time for another ally thing. A bunch of unnamed suits agents are out. Okay, so at this time, a bunch of Chrysalis agents are like causing chaos in the streets of Cindershore outside this hotel. Mm-hmm. And they're like literally like going door to door and like taking prisoners of people who don't like ally with their cause. To distract from this, a bunch of Suits agents deploy an animatronic giant.
Oh.
To distract a bunch of Chrysalis agents and attempt to like lure them all into one place so they can like subdue them.
Are they led by Cadwin by any chance?
No, we're going to get to don't worry. The okay. B team will show up.
Cool, cool.
So, Kit, why don't you go ahead and flip 6 cards for this?
Okay, so the giant mecha gets mm-hmm. a king and a 3 of hearts, which is a total of 3 successes.
Wow, beautiful. So, yeah, Chrysalis agents descend on this what seems to be an aggressive giant, and they learn it's not a very good animatronic. So, like, they don't have great animatronics in the 50s, but they do get close enough to it that a bunch of Suits agents can appear and do the rare Suits job of doing some arrests, or at least subduing people.
It's like, oh, you mean the thing you do before there is more paperwork.
It's Kit's turn.
Oh, Ipswich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ugh. So now Jakob has indicated that I should follow him, mm-hmm. but currently on the balcony on the second floor with me is Diamond, who is mm-hmm. still frozen, and Luna Vella, who's passed out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, I feel like... Ideally...
You don't have to go, by any means.
Like, it's like, I would like to go, but I also am kind of concerned about Luna Vella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'll say. Since Jakob didn't do anything on his turn, maybe he can be, like, trying to drag Luna Vella into the elevator with you guys.
Yeah, that sounds good. That okay. sounds good. So we will try to bird handle Luna Vella mm-hmm. into the into the elevator.
Okay.
Also, and please grab the radio so no one on the Chrysalis yes. side gets it.
Yes. I will definitely grab the radio.
Cool.
Right, he's like, okay, I need you to, we should take this good opportunity, while we know Veracity is not in their room, to find out what we can about Chrysalis from, like, an informational level, because that seems a little bit more like our speed.
Oh, I do like information.
I know. Me too.
So where are we going? Where are we going in this elevator?
Don't you know where one of the rooms is?
Oh, well, yes. But I need a closet. just get me to a closet.
All right. He does that.
Yeah, so we exit on some random floor and there's like a janitorial
mm-hmm.
closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the housekeeper closet things that they have on like every floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Jakob blushes.
Uh-huh, to be in a closet with you.
Yeah, and Ipswich is not paying attention because Ipswich is, like, yeah. trying to make sure Luna Vella is still staying more or less okay. And, like, but yeah, so we close the closet door, I use the key of many closets, and then we open up in the closet of the Chrysalis room I was in earlier with Brick.
Amazing. All right, so we'll call that your turn, and we'll get back to yep. you next time. Spar.
Veracity's on the floor again, right?
Yes, but hold on. Something's going to happen that might influence the course of your turn.
Okay.
Well, what do you... Actually, tell me what you were going to do first, and we'll get to what happens.
I want to try to possess Veracity.
That's amazing. Okay, so you start going towards Veracity, and yeah. then suddenly you see this lime green flash of light on the floor mm-hmm. above you, and then looking down at you from over the balcony is like a 9-foot-tall person... made of like what appears to be like gears and machinery. And as you look closer, you see it's like specifically clockwork, and there are like many clock faces all over them.
Be not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there some non-Euclidean stuff going on too?
Yeah, it doesn't look mortal or right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They say, who has summoned the Lord of Time? And you can tell from looking at them that they are also made of light, and they appear to have been, like, maybe semi-summoned into this, like, weird half-plane with you.
And is anybody else made of light in this plane?
Nope, it's just you two.
Cool. So Spar's gonna stand up and be like, hi, me?
Ah.
He kind of sticks his hand out as if to shake, despite the fact that they're like
very
A,
far away.
A goddess and B, very far away. And it's like, Merim Felspar, I'm the... Some people have made use of one of your artifacts to harm a great many people, and I am trying to stop them from doing harm.
They glance up at the Eye of Kronosava and say, ah, yes, one of my few artifacts remaining on this particular world. I am a little confused because those who may be frozen by my eye are deemed unworthy of my sight. Why should I help them?
Isn't everyone unworthy of your sight by that measure?
Perhaps.
Like, what's the point of being a goddess of people if everyone is unworthy?
Well, this is not the only realm in which I dwell. There are beings unaffected by my eye. Mortals have disappointed me time and time again, which is why I have granted them such a limited span of time. They get bored or listless when they live too long. And even with this short time, they often turn to malice towards others. Normally it takes beings on other worlds sometimes take millennia to resort to such hatred that I see here crop up over nothing at all.
Well, the person with the most hatred and malice is the person who's trying to do harm, is the person who's unaffected by your eye, which by your logic would make them the only one here worthy of you.
Damn. All right. Flip charm persuasion or presence persuasion to try to persuade this god.
Charm is current. It's usually 2, currently 3, because it has not yet been a week since Bridge. Persuasion is 2, so that's 5. 1 for healthy is 6.
Okay. Good, good, good. You got this.
Okay, that's 2 successes. I'm going to spend some drive. Okay. I have 6 drive. 1, 2. I spent 2 drive, so I have 3 successes now.
All right. Kronosava says, you said your name was Felspar?
Yes.
You seem very serious about the innocence of those affected by my spell, or relative innocence.
Relative innocence, he confirms. the person who put this into motion, the person who is unaffected, is someone who has lived a long time, is someone who has lived longer than the body they started with was meant to live. And they have used that time to cause fear and pain in others. They've used that time to frighten others so that they can have more power, and they kill people who would protect others.
Suddenly Kronosava is on the first floor with you. Like, you don't even see like movement happen. They're just there.
Spar jumps backwards a little bit.
And they walk over to a halfling, a sharply dressed halfling man who know to be Mayor Lipton, the mayor of town of Cindershore, and says, you are Felspar, so you know Lunavella Felspar?
She's my aunt, yes.
Do you know that once upon a time, this man tried to have her imprisoned for the crime of altering herself? Do you think he's an innocent man worthy of salvation?
I think he's more innocent than the person who stood and said they would start murdering people until their demands were met. he was wrong. He's, I don't like him, but he isn't currently attempting to murder civilians by the dozen. This goes back to the comparative innocence.
They incline their head. Say, you seem very passionate about this, and you come from a line that I have seen do good in this world, comparative good. It's the word of the day, isn't it?
It was on my word of the day calendar this morning, actually.
You make a goddess chuckle.
Hell yeah.
And they say, I can make a deal with you. You have elven blood, do you not?
I do.
And human blood.
I do.
I will shut off this artifact. Permanently. Hmm. If you agree to live a human life.
Deal. He sticks out his hand for a handshake.
Wow. And this time, a goddess does shake your hand.
What does it feel like, Jordan?
It feels like licking a battery with your hand.
Okay.
They vanish in another flash of that green light. And suddenly, like, the green light, like, it's, like, infused with your purple light. It makes a very Joker-looking color scheme. Sorry. I guess I said pink light. Anyway. And actually, I'm imagining more of a fruit, like, a fruit by the foot kind of color scheme. Or, like...
It's like dragon fruit colors, right? Like, yeah. You got the green, you got
the
pink.
Yeah. Anyway, you feel, like, something drop in the pit of your stomach. As you're, you know, somewhere too far away for you to really deal with. Your, like, mortality is reckoning with itself. But you've got more important things to deal with. The eye of Pronosava descends to the ground and dims. And you wake up in your body.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spar, like, claps a hand over his chest and just like...
See, there was a universe forever ago where I thought Velm was going to be talking to a god and Spar was going to be fighting Veracity. So I like the flip. That was good.
That'll happen next season.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe next episode.
Who knows? Yeah, you know, things get wild. All right.
Apparently Spar has a thing for communing with gods that he doesn't want.
That's so true. That was the start of the intro, whether we knew it or not, was us talking about that. Welcome to the intro, everybody. I'm Jordan Quiverance. I GM this game called Space Kings, called Three of Hearts.
Good job.
I haven't done one of these in a while. My pronouns are they, them. I have reluctantly kind of started using Twitter again, so you can find me there at Jordan Quiverance. You can find the podcast there at Three Heartscast. You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/threeheartscast. I'll say all that again in the credits, but you should do it. There's other people on the podcast, like Essay.
Hello, my name is Essay. It was my birthday yesterday, so you should go look at the Patreon. By the time this airs, it will have been my birthday several months ago. But importantly, you should still give us money so that I can buy cupcakes.
Yep, time's not real, and Essay will have more birthdays.
It's true. And also, my policy during pandemic time is that it's your birthday whenever you want it to be.
Great.
I had a 30th birthday several times over several different years. Nice. I recommend it. My pronouns are she, her. I play Merim Felspar, god speaker and sword guy, whose pronouns are he, him.
Temporarily.
I don't know where you can find me.
Ghost boy.
Yes, temporarily ghost boy. I don't know where you can find me online right now. I'm around. I'm peeking through your windows. I'm knocking at your door. It's fine. I'm astrally projecting into your bedroom.
But only if you're thinking too hard about Mayor Governor Thorne.
God, I'm gonna fucking kill you. I love you, Jordan, but I'm gonna fucking kill you. My agent fact for this week is that while we were like killing time and casing the joint. Spar's a snacker, so he was just like walking by and like getting like nuts and popcorn and like just like little snacks. And also every time he like passed by one of his colleagues, including Ipswich, he would press like a little bit of food into their hand to make sure they kept their energy up. So he's like giving Vellum a lollipop and making sure that Jakob has like a little bite of funnel cake.
Funnel cake is so good.
That's good. That's good.
Why is it March and not September when I can have funnel cake?
It's a good question.
If you have a pot and some oil and some flour and sugar, funnel cake can be yours at any time.
That's so true.
This could be a thing that happens.
Hey, Ela, you're on this podcast too.
Hey, I am on this podcast too. Hi, this is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Vellum, and he and I both use they and he pronouns. So while we were killing time waiting for Chrysalis to show up, Vellum was playing a shooting carnival game type thing to practice his aim and to see if he could win a cute little winged kitty stuffed animal.
Aww. Did you win?
I would like him to win. I don't know.
Okay, you won. Nah, it's okay. You won.
Yay.
We're all about positivity and fulfilling dreams in the Midtro.
In the rest of the podcast, but in the Midtro.
it's all gold, baby. All right, Kit, what's up?
Hey, I'm Kit Stubbs. I use they, them pronouns. I play Ipswich Crow Swaddle, aka the queer creeper who uses he, him pronouns. Let's see. So while wandering around the festival, Ipswich and Jakob find a booth containing two scantily clad performers where visitors are invited to throw passion fruit puree on them. And then the performers take turns cleaning the puree off each other with their mouths. Ipswich finds himself confused because this does not seem like a very efficient way to consume passion fruit. And yet he is also blushing furiously.
Incredible. Incredible.
Wow.
My fact is that back at the safe house, Ishbala, Hildy, Gray, and Anya have found like chutes and ladders under one of the beds, and that's what they're doing while you guys are doing this.
That's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what is Luna Vella doing at the festival?
Honestly, just being stressed and looking for their sibling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they're like really regretting their decision to leave Clovenheart for the first time in like 50 years. I mean, they're not regretting it because they get to help out, but you know, she's like not, it's not what she intended. That's it, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the episode, which will resume right now. Woo! Okay. But meanwhile, Veracity is attacking Vellum.
And you know what the good news is?
What's the good news?
Vellum doesn't have Durayum at the moment in his mouth.
No.
And also, his gadget is still set to telekinesis, so he doesn't have the Taekwondo.
That is all really good. Also, it's teleportation, not telekinesis.
Yes, sorry.
Vellum, what's your dodge? Just out of curiosity.
Dodge is 1.
Great. So you're taking 4 total harm coming at you.
Cool, cool, cool.
As Veracity, without even getting off the ground, just like lunges on top of you and digs their teeth into your neck.
Cool. Great. So I could use that one dodge, right?
So that's 3 damage. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am injured.
But they also jokered.
Oh, okay.
So here's the joker here. Normally they heal when they drain blood because that's what the purpose is. But this isn't great. But
we know that Vellum's blood is weird, so.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and what it is, it's not that your blood is less effective at healing veracity, it's that it tastes really weird. And so, like, that just is, like, jarring to them. And so they recoil. At first they think so, there's something weird about your blood. And so, yeah, they don't drink as deeply as they could have. Still hurts you real bad, but it doesn't heal veracity.
Yup.
Does that trigger one of your ultimates?
Yes.
Beloved.
Remind me what that does.
So I have taken damage to my health. So in combat, the next ally to act gets +1 to their next flip.
Nice.
Does that mean +1 card to flip?
Yeah, +1 card to flip.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If I go unconscious, then all allies will get +1 to all flips.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so it's Vellum's turn.
Question. And this, I don't know, this might be a little metagamey. If I didn't use my dodge, then I would be unconscious.
No, don't take more damage.
No.
Okay. Well, just so you guys know, if I get hit one more time, if I take one more damage, then I'll be unconscious, so...
Great!
There you go. Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's Vellum's turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done it before, but I think we're gonna do it again. I think he's gonna spend a drive and flip the switch again.
Okay, back to Taekwondo?
Yeah.
All right. So you're gonna do a brawn melee at them?
Yup.
All right.
Because, I mean, Vellum could teleport out of there, but...
Yeah, I get
you. Yeah.
But this time we don't have surprise, right? So you get the flips?
-2 flips. Veracity is surprised in the sense that this nerd is doing a lot better against them than they anticipated, but not in the sense that he gets extra flips.
And also that the blood tastes funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so agility gadgetry again?
Sorry. It's going to be brawn gadgetry for attacks.
Okay, right. Brawn is 2. Gadgetry is 4. -2 is 2. +1 for healthy.
Nope, you're not healthy.
I'm not healthy.
Because you're injured.
Yep. Healthy does not mean alive.
Nope.
If only that were all it took.
All right, so that's 4 cards. And that is 1 ace.
Okay.
I still have a couple more drive I could use, but I have been using them for the dial, so...
How many jokers have you pulled?
I've pulled 1 joker so far.
I could go either way, but I think this is less necessary.
Yeah, so I think we're going to let the 1 ride. Okay. I do think Vellum's going to also try to get another piece of the durium in his mouth.
Yeah, that's fine. There were 6 total. I believe this is your 3rd use of durium. Is that accurate?
Yes. You know, maybe that's one reason why he doesn't do as much damage as well, is because he's fiddling with his pockets to find the gum.
Yeah. Yes. You can walk and chew bubble gum, but you can't martial arts and chew bubble gum at the same time.
The chewing gum is not the problem. The problem is finding which pocket the chewing gum is in, while also blocking attacks.
All right, Spar, it's your turn.
Spar's going to scramble to his feet. Where the fuck are Veracity and Vellum?
Okay, yes. So you're on the first floor amongst a crowd of people.
Okay.
Who are very confused and now able to move, which is great for them. So that's like towards the center of the atria.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of close to the door is where Vellum and Veracity are.
All right, then I want to sprint over and unholster the halberd.
Nice. All right. Give me a brawn melee.
Okay.
What's this move look like? Well, I guess let's see how well you flip first.
Brawn is 3 and melee is 3. So that's 6. Still healthy is 7. -2 for veracity?
Yep.
Okay, correct. So 5. 3, 4, 5. Okay, so I got one crit plus two others. So that's 3, 4, 5 successes and a joker.
Okay. Okay, this is perfect, actually. What does it look like in your head? Like, I'm going to decide what the joker is, but tell me what you're going for.
Yeah, so this is Spar, like, scrambling upright, like, does a quick scan to find where where the crackling, fighting, hissing is, and then is like, grabbing the halberd from where he'd holstered it behind his back, where his sword usually is. Uh-huh. And is aiming to, like, swing it forward and is attempting to decapitate Veracity.
Wow.
Like, skid up behind them and, like, just fucking go for it.
All right. They're pretty distracted fighting Vellum. So you're going for what seems to be, like, a clean, just, like, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But they're able to just, like, jerk their body in such a way, almost like they knew you were behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And you catch them between the shoulder blades instead of at the neck.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes deep.
Mm-hmm.
They collapse, like, onto their stomach, basically on top of Vellum.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Veracity's turn. I'm going to flip something. Veracity bursts into a cloud of bats. However, they are wounded, and they jokered, and they did not do this as elegantly as they normally do. You have some bats speared on the end of this halberd,
mm-hmm.
and some blood sprays as Veracity transforms. And we don't know what yet, but Jordan will tell you that, like, Veracity is going to have sustain some kind of lasting injury from this battle.
Ooh.
I'd also like to note, I have a Tommy gun, which is great. Especially if the bats are flying upwards and away from civilians.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and flip agility firearms.
Agility is 3. Firearms is 2. That's 5. This doesn't seem like melee. It's ranged, right?
Yeah, agility firearms.
Okay, so I wouldn't take the penalty because it's not melee?
Oh, they have -1 for firearms. So -1.
Okay. So that's 3, 4, 5, +1 for healthy, -1 for veracity.
But +1 for being the next ally because I'm injured, 5. Right?
Yeah, we didn't do it last time. So yeah, take your +1 for beloved.
6. Okay, that is 1, 2, 3 successes. 3 successes, and I'm still holding on to some drive.
Oh.
1 drive, 2 drive, 4 successes. No joker.
Nice.
Okay. No joke. 5 was my number to kill Veracity completely.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so
if Vellum could help, Vellum would, but I don't know how much help they can be right now. How heavy is the Tommy gun? Could they help hold Spar steady?
I think it's too late for that, but if you have something else you can think of.
Okay. I mean, Vellum is still holding a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say Vellum could try to do a couple shots.
And I was about to say, there is one bat left after that spray.
Yeah, yeah.
So Vellum, give me an agility firearms. -1.
Yeah, Vellum's been mm-hmm. practicing. Mm-hmm. So,
God.
Let's see. agility mm-hmm. firearms. 1 for agility, 2 for firearms. Not healthy anymore. No other bonuses.
I don't think so.
Oh shit, you know what? I didn't take my sleuthing bonus because I know Veracity's name. Can mm-hmm. I pass that forward to Vellum?
Sure, why the fuck not?
Okay, so take one extra flip.
All right. So I got an ace, a king, and a 3 of hearts.
Yes!
So that is...
Fuck that bat.
5 successes? To kill this last bat?
Yeah, I mean, you do it. So
shot through my heart.
One bat is trying to fly like out a window. And while we at Three of Hearts do not condone animal violence, this is actually an evil vampire. So it's very satisfying.
We do condone violence against Veracity.
Correct.
Well, we condone violence against Nazis, which is what Veracity is leaning also toward. So.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vellum, with all the practice, all the training you've gotten from Spar, you are still laying on the ground. You line up the perfect shot and just fire and kill Veracity.
Wow, yay!
We did it!
Spar, when this happens, you feel a great welling up inside of you, not the feeling of like, oh good, Veracity's dead, but like that like some deep-seated wound in your family is allowed to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other members of Chrysalis don't know what the fuck to do.
I have a flavor thing to end on.
Sure.
Which is Spar sort of like slumping to the ground and he puts a hand over his chest and he has a scar over his chest. And so when he was very young, he had biomancy to save his life. Mm-hmm. And the scar had been like barely perceptible. Like if you know it's there, like you can make out the shape. Mm-hmm. And now it's raised and it's like very visibly.
Oh, so interesting.
Right over his heart.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
When Veracity dies, does it turn into like a ash, or what exactly happens to the bats?
Oh yeah, I think they rain ash down on the kind of like Buffy vampire death, like ash and dust, you know, raining down on the part on the party. Very goth end to this festival.
Nice. I think the last thing I want to end on is Vellum scooching over to Spar, hand on his face, make sure he's okay, and kisses him.
Aww. Does Spar kiss back?
I think Spar for once doesn't. Not because he does not have big old hard eyes for Vellum, but he is still reeling. He is just reeling. Yeah. Like he looks like he's seen a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it was more of a, oh God, we just made it through that kiss, and not a,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, let's make out kiss. Sure.
And then Ipswich and Jakob. With poor unconscious Luna. Ipswich, you and Jakob are rifling through documents in Brick's room.
Yeah, we have laid Luna out on the bed. So she can at least rest in a comfortable position.
Yeah, for sure. Jakob has uncovered some documents that basically Veracity had uncovered, probably stolen, the lists of various Chrysalis memberships that are supposed to be hidden from other members of Chrysalis, and has decoded them. And that's how they got so many members of Chrysalis out to Cindershore for all this. But it is written in code, but Jakob now has in his possession all the members of Chrysalis. So that could be just generally beneficial for, you know, the safety of the world. Yeah. But also, you uncover something, Ipswich.
Mm.
You find documents tying Brick financially to a number of CEOs in Cindershore and Vossa Natura that have been funneling their tax money to the funding of terrorism through Chrysalis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know exactly what to do with this.
Jakob says, that is the hottest reaction I've ever seen to someone acquiring tax documents. And leans in to kiss Ipswich.
Ipswich sort of startles and then continues forward with the kiss.
Yes.
Ipswich kisses back.
Yes.
Oh my God. Good. All right.
Good. Beautiful.
Okay. We will open with Diamond and the Vellum and Spar last time, but I have one more thing to end on. And this is set in the safe house. The door is just thrown open to the safe house. Everyone is expecting Spar and Vellum, and in walks Governor Thorne, a middle-aged, violet-haired woman dressed in red with a spear at her back. And she is flanked by her bramble guard. She says, oh, well, first of all, Ishbala is like, Governor Thorne, what's this about? How do you even know where this is? And she's like, who do you think bankrolls these safe houses? Anyway, well, Gray, but who do you think authorizes them to bankroll the safe houses? It's me. So, I would just like to announce that Ishbala and Anya Whittlesby, by the authority of myself, Governor Thorne, are under arrest. Ishbala says, for what? You're just going around arresting suits agents now? And she says, actually, yes. Because as of about 15 minutes ago, Suits is indefinitely closed, and all of its agents are under investigation, starting with you.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, Jordan Quiverns as our host, and special guest Kit Stubbs as the Queer Creeper. We play a game called Space Kings, which was created by Kevin Cole and Supertri Studios. You can find out more about that game at spacekings.space, where you can also purchase a digital version of the book. Go to book.spacekings.space to purchase a physical version. It's a great game. You won't regret it. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our special Queer Creeper Mitro theme is A Warm Welcome, and our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
I'm not good in these sorts of chaos scenarios, or maybe I thrive in them. I can't remember.
I think thrive.
So
that's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Logically, we should then create more chaos and then I'll thrive.
Yes.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Today, Ace looks like his normal human self, except he has kitty ears and a kitty tail.
I was gonna ask, so are we to believe that he's like still maybe recovering from the time he was permanently a cat?
Yep.
He's like on the tail end of that magic cold?
He is indeed on the tail end of that.
Today Cadwin looks like himself, and he's holding a martini glass that he did not return to the drink cart of the train. And if there was no drink car on this train, then...
Oh, there definitely was.
Okay, good. Then he doesn't know... It seems rude to throw the martini glass away, so he's just going to be holding it for as long as he can in this adventure.
Good.
So chaos in the streets, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well... I say we take it to the streets, old chum. We just go right down there, give them a good talking to, take the direct approach. Yeah, just go right down to the streets. Just tell them.
I thought you meant give a talking to the streets.
That's a good plan B.
If
these chrysalis chaps won't listen to us, then we'll see if the streets themselves will.
Good, good. I like it.
Cadwin becomes like a city druid and he can commune with the streets.
Cadwin puts his ear to the road and he's like, I'm sensing chaos.
See, that way. That's where Cadwin's streetwise skill really comes in.
Okay, so we'll say not far from the train station, you see basically a crowd of where Chrysalis is blockaded a street, like a town square, like a shopping area. They are literally tying people up, taking hostages here. And they are basically going one by one and making people swear allegiance to Chrysalis.
I believe I'm forming a plan. If we can get a few of those are they wearing uniforms, the Chrysalis?
Yeah, clothes? For sure.
If we can nick a few of those Chrysalis uniforms, perhaps we can start our own little revolution.
I like it.
Are there two Chrysalis guards about our relative sizes hanging out in an alleyway or next to some bushes?
Can you give me a wit investigation to spot the situation?
You got it. Wit and investigation. All right. Looking pretty good. Better push it beyond my normal means. Yeah, that's going to be good for me. That is two successes and a choker, please.
Yes.
Excellent.
The alternate name of the game, Space Kings.
Two successes and a joker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For this, there's you do see someone who's conveniently next to a janitorial closet attached to one of the stores that you could totally knock him out and lock him in.
Nice.
But he's a larger individual, biomantically altered to be a minotaur. And so you're gonna have to both wear his clothes together, standing on top of each other order to wear it.
That's no issue for me. That's what revolution demands. That's what we must do.
All right. That's the game plan.
All right.
How are you guys knocking out this minotaur?
Ace has his bow staff he can use.
Ace, you engage the chap, and I'm going to go around him and crouch down. That way, when you knock him back, he'll trip over me, fall into the janitorial closet, and hopefully go unconscious long enough for us to undress him.
Great. All right.
We're the heroes.
We got this. Iris didn't come with us this time because she had stuff to do.
Iris has jury duty.
Aww. But, I think we're doing great without her, we gotta prove and believe in ourselves.
That's what Iris would want. She'd want us to believe in ourselves without second guessing any of our tactics.
Exactly.
That's kind of her main thing.
Yeah.
Ela, go ahead and flip brawn or agility and melee and take plus one flip because Cadwin is assisting.
All right.
Cadwin is assisting by being a table.
Yeah, Cadwin just sneaks up on the ground on his elbows and knees right behind the minotaur.
Mm-hmm. One for Cadwin, three for agility, three for melee, one for healthy. I got a queen of diamonds, a king of spades, a queen of hearts, and a joker.
Yeah.
So was that three or four successes?
No, it's a lot more because that's a crit. So that's seven successes and a joker.
Nice.
Okay. I've got it. So, you pull this move and you knock him into the closet. However, you do see that in the closet, tied up on the ground, are three pixie hostages.
Uh-oh.
But Ace, because you got seven successes, you're able to catch the minotaur before he crushes the pixies.
Oh, good.
But you are just holding a minotaur by the scruff as he's half fallen onto the ground.
We're just teetering, Cadwin, about to fall.
Cadwin, not dropping his martini glass, is going to reach out with his left hand and pick up the fairy hostages and safely put them in his, like, suit pocket.
I don't know why this feels like agility panache to me, but that is, like, what I thought.
It's like, I'll... Don't worry, I'll save them before they're squashed. panache. I have a tie that gives me panache. There we go. And is that going to be enough? Yeah, like that. That's an adequate job. Two successes.
Two successes is enough to pocket some fairies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
not gently, but.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're giving you the most confused thank yous of their life.
I just stuffed them upside down into my pocket.
They're like, thank you, or I'm so scared. I don't know.
I wish you'd put down your drink and take this seriously.
There'll be time for that later.
Okay, so Ace, you're able to then drop the Minotaur and allow him to finish his descent. He hits the wall and is knocked unconscious.
Yeah. Good.
And we get his outfit.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you guys are able to successfully. I have to know who's on top and who's the legs.
Oh, I thought we were going to be side by side, two headed.
Oh,
giant
that's really
style.
Funny too. Okay, yeah,
that's
we're side
by
side.
Better.
that's maybe stupider. That's maybe the dumbest way to do it. I just pictured him, if he was a Minotaur, I just pictured him really wide.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but stupider is better. Those are synonymous. Yeah. I'm an English major, so I'm pretty sure that's true.
Iris in like the debrief is going to be like, why didn't you get on top of each other's shoulder?
He'll be like, oh, it was stupider.
It was much stupider if we were side by side.
Yeah.
All right. Not untying or freeing the hostages in my pocket. I get onto, I guess, I have to hold my martini glass, so I'll be on the right side. So. I can continue to hold it.
I will be on the left side.
Yeah, it's a good plan. All
right. Did the Minotaur have a snazzy hat of any kind or?
Yeah, I like that. I I'm actually picturing Team Rocket uniforms, except they have a C instead of an R on them.
Love it.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
But did he have like pieces of flair or anything we could use to kind of like get a visual unity on our double headspace?
that's right. that's really funny. Yes, so there's a hat, and there's also...
Well, if he's a Minotaur, I figured he'd have the nose ring.
Oh, smart. Okay, yeah.
I don't know how that helps our disguise, but I want it.
Yeah, no, I think it's really funny if one of you is wearing the hat and one of you is wearing the nose ring.
Perfect. Dibs on nose ring.
All right. Ace is not going to fight you for that. He'll take the hat.
I have a hugely important question, to be honest. Is Cadwin's nose pierced?
No.
It is now.
Well, may I flip one card to see if Cadwin's nose is pierced?
Yeah, red is pierced, black is not pierced.
All right, I got red. He pierced his nose back in college.
Good.
Incredible.
Aw.
Okay, you are dressed like a very convincing Minotaur amongst the two of you.
Yeah.
Very convincing with like six asterisks next to it. Now this is great because I imagine so the you know for Kevin the assistant like the assistant executive of Suits Greggins is a very stressed man at all times and I have to imagine that he just didn't give any context as to what this group believes in what they're doing.
No.
You guys know nothing except for that you need to stop them.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, how do we approach the situation?
Well, now that we're in disguise, there's no reason to have any sort of caution. We just simply charge in, take charge of the situation, start freeing the prisoners and confusing the hostages or hostage takers. Do we confuse the hostages as well? Maybe we do.
If we can fool the hostages, then that will convince the hostage takers as well, right?
Yep. Because people are pressured by their peers.
Uh-huh.
You just turn the tides. You see,
all right.
What's really happening here is a culture war. And if we can, if we can influence that, then we win. I assume.
Hostage situations are just a confluence of ideas. Hostages versus hostage takers.
Yeah, it's all just an attitude problem, really. We just have to convince the hostages that they need to become the hostage takers.
Correct. Fuck. All right. Caitlin, I think you're leading this is your idea.
Yeah.
So charm or presence and... performance?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Would you accept persuasion by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You're a generous host.
Mm-hmm.
I am flipping charm and persuasion. Let's see. Not too bad. Oh, and I get an extra card, right? No, I already flipped that one. No, I do. Okay. Three successes.
Excellent.
Three successes. Let me flip for some Chrysalis goons. This is so funny, too, because, like, everyone in Chrysalis is, like, magically altered. And so I think that they would see you two and, like, yeah, you're not a Minotaur, but you're definitely not a regular guy either. So they're just like, yeah, I guess that seems like he's one of us.
No one would look at us and be like, that's a regular guy.
No.
They look at us and they see a two-headed, wide, stout man that's part elf and part cat boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The Chrysalis got two successes and a Joker, so they're not able to to see through your charade here. And I think that the Joker of it is that not only do they not see through it, but they actually have heard of it. So one of them approaches you and is like, oh, Captain Two-Head Calhoun, you're here.
I toast my martini glass to them.
When he reaches into his uniform and grabs like a flask and he pours alcohol into your glass.
Yep.
And it's like, of course, we've heard a legend of your success within the organization. We didn't know you were going to be here tonight.
Well, one doesn't like to over-announce one's presence. You can top it off a little bit more. Thank you. It's been a long night.
They do.
Beautiful. It's the confidence and the swagger, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
This is the most competent Caedwin has ever been.
Yeah, that's so true. He's really in his element, which is chaos. So we have determined he does thrive in chaos.
Mm-hmm. He does. It turned out to be true.
No one questions the legendary two-headed Calhoun as he unties the hostages.
Listen, agents of Chrysalis or friends of Chrysalis, Chrysalids. We're workshopping a couple different names for you, but listen here. We're going to reverse things somewhat as part of a brilliant tactical play that you are not high level enough to get full details on. But you can trust me, Calhoun, the guy that you respect, because I'm him. And we're going to let these people go. And then you're going to put the ropes on yourselves as a diversion.
It's also those suits agents think they've got the advantage.
That will give them a disadvantage, giving us, the bad guys, the advantage.
And you know what they always say?
They call themselves the bad guys.
You know what they always say? Two heads are better than one.
That's true. They always say bumps, that.
He fist bumps Caedwin.
And all the Chrysalis agents go and start high fiving each other, and then one of them says, "Wow, I've always heard that the legendary Calhoun comes up with his smartest plan when he's clearly the most intoxicated. So I think this is really going to work."
Drinks on that guy with the flask after we're all tied up.
It's an endless flask, right?
Yeah. Oh fuck. All right, I think that's sufficient for this scene.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
That was beautiful.
Suits.
Freeze frame.
Oh my god,
Iris would be so proud.
I think so,
and also terrified.
Freeze frame on General Calhoun high-fiving himself, and then the camera pans up to Iris looking down on us from the stars, just like slowly face-palming.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You got it. It's perfect. Oh, that the Space Kings logo shows up.
Yeah, Space Kings logo.